Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Oh, hello, listeners. It's Laurie here from Pod Shambles. Welcome back to this week's episode 43. I'm so excited. I can't wait to go. Hello,
we've
Paddy.
Been rumbled. We've got to go. We've got to get out right now.
It's time for the recording.
Burn
mate.
Everything. Get rid of all the evidence. This is it's
what
over.
What do you mean,
man,
we've been rumbled?
It's totally over.
What's happened?
Everything's been rumbled. Zach knows.
Oh, shit.
He knows everything.
Shit. About what about the ducks?
Oh my god, he knows everything. He knows everything. Okay. He is furious. I have never seen a naked man so furious as this man is right now.
Have you got passports?
Dude, just
the money.
Leave the passports.
What about Angela?
Get the toothpaste. Okay, we need that. Get the Febreze. Okay, take the Febreze. Okay, all right, get my hairbrush. I can't live without
my hairbrush. We've got to do the podcast.
Laurie, it doesn't matter. We have to go. Come on, just come with me right now. We have to get out of here.
But what about the listeners?
Fuck the podcast, Laurie. It's over. It's always been a shambles, and now it's over.
Didn't agree on that.
Oh my god.
Pod Shambles.
Nice.
It's Sunday night.
Bonsoir.
It's something like 5:27.
It's so hot.
It's Pod Shambles.
I don't know why I'm crying.
Mate, don't cry. We're doing the recording.
I'm so warm.
Why are you so warm?
It's so hot everywhere.
I've got to announce, Paddy is very alarmingly topless.
I am. I'm topless.
You've got a very little red. And it's very funny because you've got like your chest hair and a bit of sunburn in a perfect V.
I know. I think I've become.
It's like one begat the other.
I'm not even become. I think I'm one of those guys, and maybe I'm one of those wankers who always wears a shirt way too open.
Oh, it doesn't make you
like,
a wanker.
I do it on stage because I get warm, but now I've taken to doing it everywhere. And whenever I see someone else doing it, I'm like, look at that guy, what a prick. Like, and then I realise I'm doing it, so I do have a perfect V of sunburn.
But it's the thing I find particularly interesting is that your chest hair follows exactly the same V. I'm sorry, I don't want to get too personal, mate.
Oh, it's because my hair only grows in direct sunlight.
Is that actually true?
No,
but the way, but that's what it looks like, mate.
It does look like it, doesn't
and look, because you don't have very hairy shoulders,
but I don't have a
upper arms, but lower arms, hello hair.
That is. Actually,
yeah,
we might have stumbled on something here.
Maybe you do.
We might have. I mean, you know, that's why I've got all this thick hair on my nose.
Yeah. And on your head, where you always wear a hat as well.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this doesn't make any sense. I just find, Laurie, I'm finding it. So you're also dressed quite similar. You've got your Nike shorts.
I do.
And you've written on your own leg.
Yeah,
which
I have.
Is fun. You've written leg brackets R for right with a little sun.
I don't know what the sun's at. No, he's like a little asterisk. I don't know what he's.
I
got.
Think he's quite
just drawing on.
He's quite fun. I think you look lovely.
Thanks, darling.
I like your burgundy t-shirt.
You look lovely as well.
But it is.
I like
it
your
is
white bod.
Thanks, man. I am very pale. Aren't
Mate,
I?
You're not as pale as me. That's the thing you've got to remember.
I'm uber pale. No,
about the same actually.
That's the same.
Yeah, but look at your actual arm. I see. Yeah.
But you've got the freckles, which make you appear darker.
until you take more than a second.
until
he's a pasty ginger.
Any energy on looking at you?
Yeah.
It is oppressively warm.
It's really bad. So we're recording this. This is in the middle of a heat wave.
This is a heat wave.
In London at the moment, it's been like 30 degrees most days, quite consistently.
Yeah.
Like,
it was 34 4 days ago.
Man, and at night as well, it really gets below 20.
I was playing in a sweatbox in Bedford, and like all the windows had to be closed for sound bleed. Stage lights, about 100 people in a room, and they lost interest 10 minutes into the hour quarter
asleep,
show,
right?
Because it was just, and everyone was fanning themselves.
Yeah.
So they weren't even watching. They were watching like an old movie where it's like, like shutters going past. But yeah, man, I'm not naturally.
You don't thrive in heat.
I don't have an affinity with heat. I'd like to say I have an affinity with the cold, but I think that might be more of a like sort of slightly romantic thing where my family are, you know, Scottish and Nordic and this, so maybe I should be really good in the cold.
But and you also enjoy wearing a lot of clothes.
I do wear enormous jackets, and there's nothing better than a big coat, mate.
Being warm.
Yes, there is in theory, but no. do you thrive in the sun?
I don't thrive in the sun, but I don't have a problem with it. I don't thrive in the sun. I think because I'm a melanin deficient person,
right?
So whenever I go out in the sun, I have to wear 3 inches of sun cream.
Yeah,
and like I get very sweaty, and I'm quite hairy all over, so I get even more sweaty. But I do like the cold as well, actually. No, that is true. I do like big jumpers and stuff.
Yeah, I'm a
and I find that I don't. My brain stops working when it gets really hot. Like,
yeah.
I feel like everything starts oozing. Whereas in the cold, it might be uncomfortable, but I feel very alert.
That's the thing. I think I've come to a scenario, basically,
right,
where I now carry around the exact amount of things that fit in the exact amount of pockets that I have when I'm in what I normally wear, which is usually...
That's a lot of pockets.
A lot of pockets. Big coat, hoodie pockets, then my back pocket, and these pockets.
Bum bag.
Got them everywhere. So then if I suddenly am going outside and it's like... You and Zach always go, why are you wearing a jacket? Like,
yeah.
Why? And I'm like, oh, because it's got all my things in it. And I like having my things.
Fair point.
I feel, without a coat, I feel like a dickhead.
Maybe you should get some kind of fun, like, under t-shirt, like, you know, like you'd put a gun in or a mobile phone holder.
Oh, like a holster.
But have these two straps of them.
Oh, my God, I can have a katana.
You can't have a katana.
Oh, a wakizashi.
You're not allowed a wakizashi either.
Tempo.
You can't walk around East London with a blade.
I bet I could, and people would be like, oh, it's so cool.
Oh, you couldn't. You'd get killed instantly.
Yeah, that also true. And I would, no, I've always wanted a little, like, pouch.
Yeah.
Like, I even have some. I bought some little, like, string pouches that you can
Why
wear
don't
on
you
top
wear
and
them
keep,
then?
Keep coins. I always forget.
Then you could be topless and you'd be great. Everyone would enjoy it.
Oh, I'm not a go outside topless guy.
No, you're not. I don't think any of us are.
I know, none of us are. I wonder if that's something
to do with...
Because
we're not wankers.
Well, that's the thing. And, like, I don't think any of us are particularly ashamed of our body. I mean, Zach's beautiful or whatever, but
yeah.
I'm not ashamed of how I look, but also whenever I do see someone wandering around and they're built like a brick fucking shit house and everyone's looking at them and they're like, oh my god, I just gotta take my shirt off, and
nipples.
They like wring out the sweat and they're
where have you been hanging out?
East London, where we live.
I've never seen that around here.
Oh man, I've seen it. I went down to the canal by Haggerston the other day,
okay.
And oh my god, it was just like a parade of tools.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, the first reason that I was going to mention it was so hot is because I hope no one minds, but we've got all the windows open, so there is going to be a little bit
of sound.
Noise bleed as usual, and we did also just record this bit and realise that the washing machine was on really
loud.
And it was just...
Oh, that sit out on an octave.
That was
briefly.
really nice.
I don't think it was really nice for anyone.
I'm not good in the sun. You appreciate it more,
sun,
but still not good
in
the sun. What are your... Okay, here we go. Pod
Shambles. Pod
Shambles, right.
Top tips!
Do you not like top tips section? I love top tips.
Oh, you love everything, mate.
I think top tips
You're
are the way to get through life.
Boundingly enthusiastic about everything we do on this podcast, and I hate it all. Okay? That's my problem.
I
can't wait to get out.
No, okay, come on. No, top tips.
What?
How does Laurie Havelock keep cool?
How does Laurie Havelock keep cool?
And I know that you're cool anyway.
At the beginning of... Thanks. At the beginning of the day, I fill one of the freezer drawers with water.
Right.
That's why it's so frosty in there, I'm sorry.
Right, you
just
fill the
whole
thing
of water, and then in the morning I get it out, and I tie it to my head with a big bit of string.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in those old comics when someone would have, like, a hot water bottle, like, strapped to their head.
Because they were ill and the little thermometer coming out. And
I got that, just a block of ice strapped to my head with a bit of, and it's like a bungee cord, so it keeps it tight even when it's... melting.
Yeah.
And I just strap it to my head, and for the whole day I've got a lovely cool head.
Yeah.
That's top tip number one.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
I've got one for hygiene.
Okay.
Because basically, you know that you're constantly sweating, and so you feel the need to be like constantly covering yourself in water and washing the sweat off. But then, right?
No,
I do that. Like, I have to, like, whenever I walk past anything that could be possibly a bathroom or a kitchen, I have to go into the sink and, like, push water all over
myself. You know,
myself.
You're meant to leave the sweat there to evaporate off.
Here's the thing.
Right, okay.
I didn't know. Right. I've got a new system that is basically... based on chinchillas. So basically, chinchillas have...
Chinchillae.
Chinchillae, yeah. chinchilla. They have sand baths. Okay.
And I hope you're not going to start having sand.
No, so I do it like basically like I sort of I create this little sort of circle of sand, okay. Right? And it's sort of dust and sand.
Yes.
That you might find sand. At the top of a mountain, maybe.
Right. Okay.
And I stand it. I make myself
not snow.
Comfy. Like you know how
at the top of a
you
mountain.
You know how like a cat sort of pads on a pillow to like get
yeah
like that. And I do that for a while, and I sort of
just
wiggle around,
feet.
And then I sort of flush. The sand all over myself.
This is horrible to watch in the flesh.
Give it a little.
This is so horrible.
A rub.
You see you tweaking your nipples.
But because I've done it for now 25 years. Okay, basically I've become somewhat like a chinchilla.
No, you haven't.
Bear with me. I don't know if you know this about
chinchilla. How is it? Hang on. How is this a top tip?
It's a top tip, guys. Top tip. Right.
You're now just talking about how you wish you were
a
chinchilla.
If you put the word top tip in front of something, it makes
it
true.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, I do all the sand bath stuff, and I've become like a chinchilla. And I don't know if you know this, but if a chinchilla gets wet,
right?
It basically dies.
Yeah, again, you've said this on the podcast before.
Well, that's fine. I just want to Laurie, it's so hot.
1 week, we're gonna get to it, and you're just gonna like it's just gonna,
I'm gonna
be.
Sit there and be like, we're gonna do a choose your own adventure story.
Are you ready? Let's begin.
Yeah, let's begin. Have you seen Pirates of the Caribbean? Okay. No, so that's it. I think sand baths. I mean, also there's eating an enormous amount of Cornettos.
Ah, oh, with you on there. Yeah,
dude,
there.
I'm a big ice lolly fan, even when it's cold.
Yeah, but the thing is that you and ice lollies, right?
Yeah.
Is you rarely eat an ice lolly, do you?
No, I...
Paddy will go to the shop, buy some ice lollies, and be like, guys, I got ice lollies. Great. Oh, wicked. And then the next morning, there'll just be the entire box. And times I'll come in and Paddy will be playing the Witcher, usually when it's hot, playing like The Witcher, invariably.
Yeah.
In just your pants.
Yeah.
Covered in like frozen fruit pastel lolly, like lolly sticks stuck
it's
to the sides of
the
your head.
Hundreds and thousands from Fabs,
yeah.
That have gone and stuck to my chest and they're around my mouth, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know why I do it. I think there's something in my head that's like, well, they're ice, so they're not bad for you.
They're hella bad.
And so I will genuinely buy a box of 8 Twisters. I'll give you guys one each.
Yeah,
you
very generously.
You guys will go to bed, yeah. And I'll eat 5 more.
It's very cute. It's really, it's like really sweet. It is like what would happen if you left a 12-year-old in mum and dad's over
yeah,
the weekend.
Exactly.
On their own.
Yeah.
I could just have one.
Then there's popcorn
again,
everywhere.
I don't think that's responsible tips.
I think no. Eat a lot of ice sodas. Get into the habit.
Feel like you can have at least a Cornetto a day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't recommend a whole box. But
also,
whatever.
They're quite cheap. You can get a box of Fabs for £1. That's 6 Fabs.
Yeah.
That's, Laurie, I don't think you're looking at the economics of this. Like,
you can have 6 Fabs.
You can have 6. I could live off Fabs.
For once!
I know. If I had the choice, I would live off Fabs.
I know you would.
Have you got any more top tips? I've done 2 now. I was meant to let you do one in between.
Well, no. I think your chinchilla dust bath is very, very suspect.
Ropey. Okay,
well.
I've done 1.5. I'm X-Men 2.0.
My top tip number 2 is pant. Like a dog.
I thought you meant like
pants.
Wear a singular pant.
One leg of pants.
With no joiner for your wangers.
Oh, that'd be great. Like a weird, like, assless pants.
Yeah, like a little sort of skirt almost, but it's like a pouch for
it's
one.
It's just 2 handkerchiefs held together by a belt.
Yeah, I was introduced the other day to C-strings. You ever seen one of them?
No, what? Is that just, it's just one bit of fabric?
Yeah, that's like, it's like a pouch and then it comes round your bottom without
why,
you having,
why is
like,
that not a G-string?
Because I think a G-string, you then have a string like around your waist that holds
it up.
Oh, I
see.
Whereas this is like a nook.
So it basically goes like round one leg via your dick and balls.
Exactly. I just want to say right now, when I say introduced it, this wasn't like, I wasn't in a situation where someone went, hey fellow,
have you ever seen a C-string?
Ever seen one of these? No, we were looking,
oh, God, no!
We were looking at buying one for a prop for the show and decided it would be so awful.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
That I do not want
when
to
I
do
review,
it.
That'd be
yeah,
terrible.
Exactly.
So I love you very much, both very much, but I don't want to see either of you
yeah,
in a C-string.
There is mild nudity in the new
of
Edinburgh
course,
show.
There
is a lot of it. I'm not going to ruin the
is
joke because I cannot wait for you to see it. I'm really excited.
It's
going to
be a bum.
But yeah, no, you think a pant, but you were more referring to a pant like a dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for just, you know, derailing my tip.
I'm sorry.
Pant, full stop, as in the verb.
Yeah.
Pant.
To pant.
Pant like a dog.
Do you?
Because even if it doesn't actually work on humans, which it doesn't.
Yeah.
You'll feel cooler if I tell you to, like, I think there are a lot of things, like, if someone tells you it's going to make you feel cooler and then you do it.
Then I just get out of breath.
It'll work. You don't have to do that fast.
Why doesn't it work on humans?
Because dogs can sweat from their mouths, basically.
Really?
They have, yeah. I don't know why it happens. And they've got a lot of blood vessels near the surface of their tongues and mouths.
Right.
So when they open and go... And because I think it's... I don't know why it doesn't... It probably would work on humans, but just not very well.
Yeah.
That's my summation of it.
That's your summation of it. Yeah. I never knew... Can we sweat from our lips?
No. I think it's the wrong kind of...
But you can sweat from here, can't you? Around your beard.
Yeah. It's the kind of skin. Like, that's... Oh, Jesus, man. I'm getting... This is one of those things where I'm going to get very bogged down when in something I kind of know about, but don't really.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of skin tissue. I don't think it has pores. It's
Lipodermis.
Endodermis.
Endodidymus. Oh, I would also like to make a Podshambles correction in that I was right in a recent episode when we were talking about bollocks. And I said epididymis, and yeah. And you disagreed with me, and then I agreed with your disagreement. But I looked it up. I, like, do not go on my Google, by the way. It is sea strings and bollocks.
Epididymis through the ages.
All that, like, has man ever become goat? All that kind of thing. But yeah, that is 100% true. All right, so final top tip.
Okay, final top tip.
Between us, what's it going to be? It's got to be something to do with, I mean,
do as a duck does.
Do as a duck does.
Yeah.
Buy a bike.
Eat breadcrumbs.
Yeah, ride your bike to the bakery.
Yeah. Get the breadcrumbs.
Get the breadcrumbs. But here we go.
Yeah.
You know when Laurie was talking about putting that block of ice in the freezer?
Yeah.
Fill it with bread as well.
Right? Then as bread it melts lolly.
On your bike.
Bread lolly as well.
Bread lolly is coming down. Lots of little bits of bread are going to be dripping down your face. And you can pant to catch them.
I don't think... Right? Ducks definitely can't pant.
And the bits that fall on the floor. The bits that fall on the floor. Chinchilla sandbath.
Oh my God. All in one tip. Please never... Do a chinchilla sand bath in the nude for me again.
I'm going to teach you how to do it.
Like, I'm
going to get us some sand and fill the bath with sand.
Okay.
I love you. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to the podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. It's a podcast song. Now sing along.
Everybody,
bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to the podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. It's a podcast song. Now sing louder. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to my podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Podcast song. Now sing louder. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to the podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. It's a podcast song. Now sing along. Now, Laurie, as you well know, we're both pinko lefty liberal scum.
Oh, I love to be a lefto pinko liberal scum.
And that means that we both read The Guardian.
And we both have Jeremy Corbyn tote bags.
Yes, exactly. Tote hats as well.
What's a tote hat?
A tote hat. It's just a repurposed tote bag.
But you can put your quinoa in it as well.
Yeah, exactly. You can keep all of your middle classness in there.
Why do you bring this up, Paddy?
Well, look, I was reading The Guardian
the other
day.
Oh, The Guardian, my favourite of all the broadsheets.
Oh, I love The Guardian. This isn't an advert for The Guardian. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, basically, I came across this article, and I hoped that you hadn't read it. Tell me if you have read it, but basically, this is fucking fantastic.
Okay, so what is it?
I'm going to
bring... is it the latest scathing indictment of Theresa May's government?
Yeah, exactly. They're lying to us.
Was there an article about the Amazon and the deforestation
it's
therein?
It's called Brexit, more like
Amazon.
Bonk it.
Okay, good.
Because it's a sex... Anyway, sex it. Sex it. Good.
Yeah, that'd be much better.
No, basically, okay, now feel free to interject whenever you want, but I'm going to just start reading. Okay, so the article is it's in animal behavior. It's the subsection.
Nice. Is that your favorite?
I flick
I'm
immediately.
Subscribed.
I go to the animal behavior and the letters section.
And the lesbian pinup.
Yeah, exactly.
The Guardian is very famous.
This is where you get all the most mental stuff, basically. This is brilliant. The article is called "No Kidding, Man's New Best Friend Is a Goat."
Or is this like one man?
No.
It's a really stupid, like, local interest story.
Yes,
like,
local
man's best friend is actually a goat. Can you believe it?
Now, I'd like to immediately just point out, no kidding.
Nice.
It's very clever, you see, because well,
kids,
I mean, you understand.
Kids are goats.
You have a degree, so, you know what I'm talking about. I don't have a degree, so I don't get it.
Can you believe I didn't read this article, Paddy?
I can. You know what? I really can. Let's just do the sub headline. What's that called in journalism?
Leader.
The leader.
Yeah.
New research suggests that, like dogs, goats also seek to develop social relationships with us. So perhaps we should stop eating them. That's The Guardian coming in right there.
That's so Guardian.
Go. That is.
Also, should we stop eating them? I don't know. I don't remember the last time I ate goat. Do you?
I ate goat at the Notting Hill Carnival.
There you go.
A couple of years ago,
but
curry goat.
We don't really hang around the circles that eat goat. Like, it's a very much, it's quite a cultural thing, limited
to
not our culture.
Well, that's the thing.
Guardian, get off your preaching high horse.
Actually, and Guardian readers love goat's cheese, so so maybe you should stop farming them for milk.
There you go. Stop rubbing their tits all night.
Yeah, stop uddering me. What's it called? Milking. That's it.
Uddering.
Yeah. So look, there's also a brilliant picture of a goat.
Yeah.
Which I think you'll
agree. Quizzical goat.
A quizzical goat. It's got a bit of grass in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And the picture is entitled, "Can We Be Friends?" Which I think is quite nice, isn't it? So, do goats...
I think that's quite nice.
It's quite lovely. So, do goats secretly love us? They've been keeping awfully quiet.
I was about to say, it was going to be very secret.
It's really...
I feel no love from a goat.
All of my interactions with goats, like, I used to herd goats. You remember, we've talked about this
before.
Yeah,
that's a very grand way of putting what you did.
I once learnt how to herd goats, and they were very angry, and they do... They attack, man. Yeah. Like, you know goats.
They don't want to be your friends.
Have you ever been in, like, close contact with a goat?
Yeah.
Have you been hit by one?
I've been to a petting zoo. I've been to the Hackney City Zoo.
Oh, yeah, you do go to that. Yeah. I've never been there. I've always wanted to.
A couple of goats, mate.
Are they violent?
Goats. Yeah, they're violent goat bitches.
I mean,
they're
goats.
Horrible.
Do they have
horns?
Yeah, no, I mean, I know they have horns.
Paddy's just miming horns. They have these, you know...
What do you call these goats? No, do they have, like, big, angry horns?
I don't know what the sliding scale of horn anger is.
Neither do I. Maybe I shouldn't have asked. Anyway, so they've been keeping awfully quiet about it, but fresh data from Queen Mary, University of London...
It's down the road.
Suggests that goats are on a similar domestication trajectory to dogs.
What's it... Okay, explain to me. Why?
So basically, there's this study... they set the task difficulty to impossible for when, like, goats are given this task, basically, where they have to take the lid off a box to receive a reward.
Uh-huh.
You get what I mean? And goats can do that when it's an easy box to, like, knock the lid off, right? But when they, like, seal the box...
You're miming and this right, is amazing. I wish people could see it.
When they seal the box, nuzzling the goats, the right, the they go up to the box and they're expecting the reward. They try and knock the lid off and they can't. So instead of just carrying on trying or giving up, they gaze imploringly at nearby humans in the same way as dogs do.
That is weak research. That is weak.
Research nonetheless, Guardian Online. So basically, they look to us for help.
Right.
I don't know if that's good enough yet, but they
definitely
continue.
Not.
The implication appears to be that our previous explanation about coevolution is slightly flawed. Dogs evolved to follow our gaze because we needed them to be good hunting dogs. That, you know, explains some doctor, probably not a doctor. her name is Dr. Jenna Kiddy. I'll just use that because I'm...
Right, she is a senior lecturer in animal behaviour and welfare at Anglia. I mean, I think she's a doctor. Earned her PhD, Paddy. You can't start questioning that.
No, I bet she's brilliant. But from that first sentence, I think I was questioning it. But we continue. She is that senior lecturer. And she said, "We've never had any social need from goats, apart from their meat and milk. So this research really throws that into the water." I don't think that's true.
No!
I've always wanted a goat friend. And there are definitely people who have goat friends.
Right.
My gran has a goat friend.
Yeah, okay, but that's... They're going to leave that well alone.
No, she does. She has one of her
best
friends. Is
it a man dressed as a goat?
Yes. He's okay. Called Bert.
My problem with that is, like, you can be friends with any animals because... Like, you can teach basically any animal a simple, "Hey, I'm going to be nice to you" kind of relationship. I'm going to feed you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to...
Even like a fox or
pigeons,
like something that...
Pigeons look at you imploringly. Pigeons know that if they are nice, in inverted commas, you might feed them.
Yeah, or gulls.
Gulls have no concept of morality, as we discussed earlier.
Oh, yeah, we have discussed it before. But pigeons we know can be... Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You can't
have
a pigeon,
like...
mate.
You could, I think you could if you were a guy who ran like
a meaningful
pigeon.
Mate.
I bet they have like a meaningful relationship.
No, because
if you've
the
got,
whole
like,
thing,
a star pigeon.
The whole thing about all of this is that we impose all of this on animals. Animals, we look for all the cues of them looking at us imploringly, inverted commas. It's just a goat looking vacant. That's what it is.
But I
if that's what
vacant,
our relationship
that
was.
Isn't it? I just look at you
that,
vacantly.
I thought it was a friendship, but you just every time just going.
I'm waiting for you to give me some grass
right,
or help me open this box.
Yeah.
So yes, that is slightly flawed. But there's been loads of research basically done on dogs and wolves, explaining why one was domesticated and the other not. Just as we were just saying.
But aren't dogs domesticated wolves?
What? I don't know. Are they? Would you say they? I think they're different. That maybe they are.
They're not. Can you?
Does a wolf fall under the genus of dog?
Well, it depends if they can fuck and have a baby.
Okay. That's mammals, isn't it?
No. What? Mammals?
They can fuck and have
a baby.
The
same, if they're the same species, they can.
Oh,
they
sorry, can... the two of them. I thought you were like, well, they're the only things that can have sex and then have children.
No, mate.
Yeah, of course, I know now.
We've all seen certain people's mums, you know
what I mean? But they basically say that all of the barnyard species data is really patchy. Like, they know a lot about cognition. Crows, for example.
Yeah, those are amazing.
We love a crow, Laurie and I.
They're really clever.
We were going to call it Crow Shambles. Didn't have a enough material on Christ.
Nah, it would have been. We could have got all the. All the Black Sabbath fans in, I don't know.
Or the Black Sabbath, yeah, I could call them Crows. Yeah, yeah. Or the Brandon Lee fans.
Or all the
from the movie The Crow.
Or the Night's Watch fans.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, Laurie, there are so many fans.
So many markets we haven't tapped into.
Oh, my God. So they say Crows, for example, being very intelligent. But in terms of their social aspects of the relationship between humans and animals, it's still very underexplored. Basically, this article is longer than it needs to be. And it is repeating itself over and over again. Sheep, she believes, are probably much less human than goats because they're neophobic, which means afraid of everything. Goats.
This is looking at sheep in far too much detail. I mean, they are scared of everything.
And it goes on to just give us a little bit more information about that. They cluster in packs and never truly gaze up.
And get eaten by wolves.
God, this is ropey, isn't it? Whereas a goat's natural desire to explore offers cross-species sociability. Goats were also the first species humans domesticated about 10,000 years ago, giving them a head start.
Doesn't that say it all, though? We've had domesticated goats for 10,000 years.
And they're still not on board.
They're still not friends.
They're still not on board. We still talk to
curry. Dogs, it took like an afternoon, and they're like, oh, we are your friends now forever.
And now this sentence, and I agree with this sentence, but I think 99% of the population doesn't. It's exciting research. Kitty agrees. Who's she agreeing with? No one else said that. It definitely makes me want to have a go myself. I think donkeys would be a good candidate. I can vouch for that.
Gran
also has a donkey friend.
She's
got Josephine and Hoti. The coolest donkeys.
Should you not be
ever.
Hanging out with your gran more if she's having to turn to donkeys
I
and goats?
I wish. No, as in, like, she lives on a farm, she raises animals and all that, and, like.
Oh, so she's chosen goats and animals.
She has
over
chosen
you.
Over us. Yeah, exactly. She says, a horse will tell you when it's upset, but donkeys are far more stoic. Do you agree?
Again, it's hard to.
How's your experience with donkeys and horses?
My experience with horses is that horses like me from a distance, but we have an understanding where I do not ride them because I don't enjoy it and they fucking hate it.
I'm terrified of riding horses.
It's really fun, but they just don't enjoy it because I'm a man with weight. That's the way of putting it. Not because I'm huge, but just because I'm dense, apparently.
Yeah.
And they hate it. They get bucked off every horse. Donkeys, that relationship is understood. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, they've got a lot of character. Donkeys,
I've got a lot of time for donkeys, but horses. The thing that always surprises me about horses is how big they are. Don't give me that laugh. No, you know what I mean.
The
you know
thing
what,
that no. always surprises you about horses.
And every time
you see
a genuinely,
horse,
I am. Bowled over I'm by relatively intelligent. I'm not that
You're
clever,
very
but
intelligent.
I'm intelligent. But whenever I see a horse, without fail, I go. Fuck me, that's a big horse, isn't it? Like, I haven't reset to go,
like,
oh, that is a horse.
Some starry-eyed Irish drunk. Oh, gee, that's a big horse there. Every time.
You know the, like, police horses? They run, like, clap, 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 clap,
the
clap.
Horses.
And, the horses. But they're fucking enormous. And whenever I see a donkey, I go, that's a small donkey. Even though donkeys are just quite small.
That's very sweet, mate. But I think you just need to look at your frame of reference a bit.
Okay, fine.
I understand you've seen, like, 500 normal-sized but big horses.
Yes.
And just recalibrate.
So the article wraps up with this. Are goats about to join dogs and dolphins on the too clever, too cute to eat list? All animals should be afforded respect, Kitty says. But I think... tend to think the implications will be for how handlers interact with goats. Things we now know goats do and don't like. Whatever their IQ, sentimentalising humans into not eating them is surely the smartest bit of coevolution any animal could perform.
Oh, what a wide
Whoa.
Statement to finish
I mean, that
up.
Is, yeah, that, like, whore.
Also, we don't eat the animals that ate us first. It wasn't like, oh, you fucking cows coming over here munching. I was like, well, fuck you, you're dead now.
I'm not going to spend nearly as much time on this article, but it's just said, if you like this, why not go to, no kidding, what I learned from becoming the goat man.
Have you not seen this guy? This guy's amazing. He's I can't remember where he's from. Is he German or something? And he
okay.
And he.
Well, he's called Thomas Thwaites.
Oh, so maybe he's English. But he dressed up as he made a goat skeleton, right? This crazy thing. These things that extended onto his arms and his legs to make them more like goat legs. And he wore a helmet.
Like an exoskeleton.
Yeah. And then he went and lived with goats for like 6 months.
Oh my God.
He was a nutter, an absolute nutter. Look at him in the thing. He's got like a cycling helmet on and everything.
Oh,
that's him.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
He's absolutely terrifying.
But that goat seems to
love
him.
All right, well, the 10 things he learned about goats without any explanation.
Oh my God. No, okay, no explanation at all. Look, it basically is exactly as Laurie said. He is called Goat Man. He learned the gap between Homo sapiens and other animals is wide.
No shit.
Wow, well done, Goat Man. You clearly put more time into becoming a goat than books. Secondly, storytelling makes us human.
What? That's not about goats.
Just to give you a little on that, if Neanderthals and other types of humans were still extant, there would be much less of a jump between orangutans and Homo sapiens.
Extinct.
Well, that's okay. Storytelling does make us human. Oh, wow, there's another picture of his exoskeleton.
It's
guys, seriously, look this up. Type Goatman Guardian into Google.
Goatman Guardian.
Goatman Guardian. Oh, you might get something fucking great for that as well.
His name is Goatman Guardian, defender of the world of goats.
Keeper of the peace and goat. number three, we have always wanted to be animals.
Not true.
We are animals as well, aren't we?
that's
the
true.
Thing. We, of course we want to be them, unless people want to be, I don't know, stars or gas. number four, obscure science is inspiring.
I kind of get inspiring that. Someone managed to do it.
And it does lead
to
conversation, doesn't it? In a way
what are we doing right now?
We don't talk about things that we know about, like moles. Not as in the animal moles, but as in, remember in chemistry, we had to learn about moles, and everyone learns about moles and how much a unit of measurement
is
for a mole.
That's a very weird example.
Yeah, but it's very boring, but it is something that everyone learns. But if it's something really obscure, and you can be like, oh, did you know that monkeys are the only animals that can catch a yawn off humans and vice versa? Good fact. Not necessarily known.
At least once on a podcast.
Probably have. Don't give a shit. I think it's a good fact. I think everyone should memorise it. Number five, technology could help us connect with animals.
Yeah, all right.
Is that in a... Do you reckon
That again is one of the widest sentences ever been. Technology is just any technology ever that is ever made. If we made a brain swapping machine, that would be technology.
Of course.
If we made...
Or like the baby translator in The Simpsons, like that sort of thing. I thought that's what he was getting at, but a quick glance over that implies that he's talking about his prosthetics.
Gross.
And if we all wore these prosthetics...
What he's talking about, I think, is dressing up as a goat and then fucking them. That's what he...
Yes, connect. Yeah. Very in the physical sense as well.
He's made a special robotic... goat dildo.
Yeah.
That perfectly mimics a goat.
Yeah, and he says that it made...
And
him...
then...
Sorry. It says that it made him more curious because all of a sudden his face and mouth were first when he was on his, four legs. It's like, okay.
Being a goat is exhausting, number six, because you keep fucking them with your robot.
Yeah, exactly, with your massive robocock. Number seven, acceptance is bliss.
Accepting goats.
Nothing to do with goats. That's just a phrase. Number eight, becoming another animal can make us more humble.
Yeah, okay.
Probably true, seeing things from the other side of the coin.
If I was a mouse for a week, I'd probably feel a lot better
exactly.
about being a person.
And you'd love cheese and holes. Number nine. So I'm trying to come up with a concise way for each one. Number nine. Being a goat could be the new mindfulness.
Mindfulness, mate.
I had to do mindfulness in my
Not
in a sound in my therapy sessions.
I think it's meant to be very helpful, but it's just it's giving it a name like mindfulness really turns me off because I think there's a lot of value in
and a lot of people really rate it. I personally am not very good
but
at it.
It's
and
basically medicated chilling out. Medicated as in the way it's prescribed.
Prescribed
to you
chilling
you're,
out. Yeah.
But like that's the thing I don't understand. Like, why do you have to call it mindfulness? Why do you have to have an app that makes you
mindful?
Think about three kinds of flowers for an hour. Like, why can't you just go and have a cigarette in the park?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's basically what mindfulness is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Some people,
not shoot up some crack and don't hit your wife? That's mindfulness.
That's the. I don't think either of us are knocking it, but I totally agree with you. I know a couple people that
I'm knocking the. I'm knocking the culture in the words.
Yeah.
He
also suggests that with mindfulness and goats, perhaps I could go on Dragon's Den and say, I want to start a new wellness movement.
And you get laughed off by Bannatyne.
About goats. And the final one, this is my favourite, by the way. Number 10, Goatman will stalk the fields again.
Oh, well, thank Christ, because we were both worried.
Yeah, don't worry. There's a goat herd in the Czech Republic, which he's been invited
to.
He's
been invited to?
He's been invited to, I don't know, by the Czechs.
the king of goats.
The king of goats, says Thwaites. And he's always wanted to go to the Czech Republic, because he'd love to keep the same goats, but it's a bit difficult in Peckham. That's his justification for going.
It's a bit hard.
And leading a herd in the Czech Republic.
I'm going to have to go to the Czech Republic. Well, thanks for that, mate. That would have, what a fascinating tumble down the goat rabbit.
You know what? I had a blast.
You've got to be kidding me.
Thanks, The Guardian, for guarding our minds.
Oh, horrid.
Yeah.
No.
I'm a liability. I can't be near glass or flames, liability. Don't let me hold your gun or children.
He's a liability.
I once killed a man and went to jail for ages. I'm a liability. I still see him in my nightmares, but iTunes doesn't mind.
No, they don't.
And Acast doesn't mind.
I really hope they don't.
And Laurie doesn't mind.
Yeah, I quite mind if you actually.
And our listeners don't mind.
Yeah, you should have kept that to yourself, shouldn't you?
Like my bum.
Oh, it's just enough time for a Would You Rather, Paddy.
Oh, I've yes, I love these.
On a little bit of paper these here, I've saved a whole week.
Oh, wow, yeah. We're actually returning something that we said
yeah.
we'd return. Oh, you're brilliant.
It's been ages since we actually did this consistently.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What you got
this,
for me?
This comes with a proviso, though, listeners. If you think of any really good ones, just send them to us. All the usual details.
Yeah.
podchamps@gmail.com, podchamps@twitter. Just send us some more, because we bloody love them.
Yeah.
Right. Would you rather be, for the rest of your life...
Right.
And we'll get into the implications later.
Okay.
It can either be John Coltrane's saxophone at its peak.
Ooh, hello.
Or... Stevie Ray Vaughan's like bust up guitar.
Okay.
Now, okay. I know that sounds like an easy question to answer.
However, my friend.
However, all I ask you to consider is the full implications of being the saxophone. That means, a former heroin addict is
right.
blowing down you with its spit and its tongue.
And it's all collecting
and yet,
in the crook.
Every night. At a sweaty blues bar,
yeah.
or Stevie Ray Vaughan is pounding you within an inch of your life, like blood and fingernails, and like stretching your strings and snapping bits of you.
Oh God!
Yeah, which one would you
and
rather
they're both
be?
Both quite you gross
filthy
individuals,
slut.
Okay, hang on. Can I ask some questions?
Yeah,
is that
absolutely.
Cool? Okay, one. Do I have sentience?
Yeah, you know, you are fully aware of what's happening to
okay,
you.
Okay, but I can't lead a life outside of being there. Like, if I was a saxophone, I'm not a walking, talking saxophone.
No, but it is implied that there is communication between musical instruments, so you would have friends and respect.
Whenever at, like, a jam night or something like that.
Oh my God, it's Paddy! Hey, man!
Yeah,
hey, how you been?
And it was like... Bah, 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 bah.
It's full of spit.
And I'm in love with a cello who's like...
Frederica. Yeah.
Frederica, the
Yo-Yo
cello.
Mars cello.
Yo-Yo Mars cello. Okay. Can I feel what is happening as
yes,
if I'm a person?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Does it
you
hurt?
You can feel that spit flowing down.
It does hurt,
you.
Doesn't it?
Does it hurt? It hurts if you get dropped.
Stevie Ray Vaughan's must hurt.
No, yeah, okay, but okay, so let me tell you this. With Coltrane, you're like a kind of what's the word? You're like a submissive sexual partner. So it's not violent, but like you enjoy being a bit
and
used,
blowing
and
into my
blowing
mouth,
blowing on and spat down. Whereas Stevie Ray Vaughan, it's a proper BDSM heavy lifestyle. Like you love getting knocked around by it, but it is violent.
Okay, all right. So what would have immediately made this easier is if I had a preference, like as to whose music I enjoyed more.
Okay.
I'm a massive Coltrane fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a massive Vaughan fan.
Uh-huh.
I play more of Vaughan's work and I know more about him. So, but this makes it darker. So
you
Stevie,
understand the abuse. You're
I understand
more
the
intimately.
Abuse. Like Stevie Ray Vaughan, like you know this.
Yeah.
He strings his guitar with like 16 gauge from the bottom,
yeah, yeah,
far
yeah.
too heavy because he wants to get that dirt sound. But that's too heavy for a guitar and
your
for poor someone's
little guitar
fingers.
Paddy to take.
So he puts super glue on the end of his fingers,
yeah, yeah.
glues them to his legs, rips that skin off his legs, and then plays. He's dead now, but then plays.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah,
he used to glue
his fingers to his thighs.
Okay, so you're going to have necrotic bits of leg
exactly.
skin flicked all over you all night.
Yeah, but I would be making some sweet fucking
and you'd
blues
be getting
music.
Off to it as well.
And, like, and also, his guitar is now on display somewhere because he died in a helicopter accident.
Yeah.
And he, like, there are statues of him
okay.
everywhere. There'd be pictures of me everywhere. I mean, Coltrane also equally as revered, if not more, actually.
Yeah.
But, like a guitar, you do have to change bits of it, and you do have to have it set up and tuned. With a sax, I feel like Coltrane left that to rot. Like,
what
to get
mean?
His sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but it would have been looked after as well.
Actually, yeah, it's equally revered.
But it would have been...
So, actually,
be...
in both scenarios, I am being
the
well idea
of Coltrane's sax, I don't think, is held in the museum anywhere. At least not famously. It may be, but it's not, like, known as, oh, this is
oh,
the
this
SG.
Is, this, yeah, exactly.
Right.
And also, sorry, I'm going really into this.
Yeah.
The other thing is, being a Coltrane sax or Vaughan's guitar, personality-wise, I think if I was Coltrane sax, I would be... the smoothest,
the coolest,
like,
you would
sexy...
also be hanging out with a lot of other hep cats, though.
Yeah, like, exactly. I'd be clicking my fingers and I'd be, hey, how's it going?
And you'd have
if
to...
If I was Vaughan's guitar, I would be hammered going, hey! Hey, you! But people would still want to fuck me.
Yeah, you'd be like Ronnie Wood or something.
And I'd be achievable. You know, I'm...
Oh, is that anything? Okay, a couple more.
All right, give me some more caveats. Give me some more.
Okay, with Coltrane, you remember that fluffy thing you used to clean saxophones?
Yeah.
It was like a noise. You get that like up and down you quite a lot, and you'd probably really like that.
Oh, yeah, it would. I actually was thinking that I'd get to whoop. And also with a sax, I'm being played quite gently until the really cool like.
But
swells.
Even then, he's never twanging it around, is he? The only other proviso though is Steve Ray Vaughan. Okay, you're hanging around though with. Blue alcoholic blues men the entire time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Whereas with Coltrane, you get a bit of a change of scene because you start off in the kind of the early work in the bars and clubs, and he's a bit, you know,
yeah,
sort of a bit of a racist divide and stuff, yeah. And then playing with all the greats, and then the heroin days, and then reform and Christian days, and then at the end, you get a very, very chilled out time when he's properly found spirituality,
and then they go to heaven. Apparently,
so they claim. So the Bible says.
Whereas with Ray Vaughan, I just am in a helicopter crash at the end of my. I've got to. I'm going to go with Coltrane. I like your idea of the progression, and getting to sort of
and
live a
you
full life.
Get your innards cleaned out with a feather duster once a day.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is because on Coltrane's songs. When the sax comes in, it's that moment in a room where if you play someone a Coltrane song for the first time, say you're playing Naima, mm-hmm. right? That when you press play, you go, hang on, just listen. And then comes in. Whereas with Ray Vaughan, it's on every track, and to be honest, plays the same thing quite a lot. It's just. It's like, I'd be the best at that. No, I'm going with Coltrane. Okay. Even though I listen to a lot more Ray Vaughan.
Man, that's lovely.
That was a really good one, man. I've got one for you that I think you're going to really like. So it's a bit silly.
No.
Would you rather, Laurie Havelock, scream everything?
No.
Or have
it's already so stressful.
Or have to put 100% physical intensity into every move you make?
Okay.
So right. Okay.
Screaming, pretty self-explanatory.
And you can't just be like, oh well, I'd never talk. I'd be a mute or something like that. It is like you still have to lead the life you currently lead. Mm-hmm. But you're that guy.
I go into prayer and then I'm like, yes, please.
Exactly. Okay. Or you have to be even sitting right now. Right now, you're absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But if you were to pick up this coffee, you'd have to go, ah! You don't have to make the noise.
You have to grab it really forcefully.
100%
physical intensity. So that doesn't mean I'm using 100% of my like physical capability and everything. Because otherwise I couldn't do anything. I couldn't pick stuff up without breaking it.
But you have to.
Because I'm so fucking strong.
If you hug someone, it's like that. It's not crushing them and like causing them harm. But like when you're putting on a shirt, you're like.
Oh, I see, like that.
Like that, and you have to, and every movement has to be, like, extended to its full thing.
So
when you're eating, it's like...
Okay, so I would get... I'd hurt myself horrendously
in the first week. Yeah, in the first week, but you would get used to it.
And I could never do anything that requires fine motor skills again, like playing the violin.
You'd either be fantastic at sex or... Bad. Like, really bad. Like, painfully
bad.
I think you'd get used to it. But also, bear in mind that both of these things means that everyone will hate you.
Yes, that is a given.
But, like, what would be forgiven? I'd forgive you for basically anything.
I think,
and I'd still hang out with you under most
circumstances. I think the shouting is more forgivable, if not forgivable. Because, like, you could. That's easier to explain.
Everyone's got a loud friend.
That's easier to explain, isn't it? And particularly if it was that... Every time people be like, oh, don't worry, it's on screaming.
Even that burst made me wince.
Hey, buddy! What's going on, mate? The physical intensity, I guess that'd be alright because you just stay away from people. Like, even if you were talking to someone.
Yeah.
But it's just so much more noticeable. That's the thing. Like, anyone who saw you ever would know exactly what was wrong with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the screaming thing, like, people may once in a while be like, oh, he's got a problem today. Or, oh, he's got, like, you know.
He's got a hearing problem.
He's got a hearing problem. Yeah, exactly. Or it'd be like, bad dude's having a terrible day.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I hate them both so much.
Bear in mind, the good thing about the physical intensity one, just because I want to fight its corner briefly, because I know it's
I could go into a career in, like, Dude, something amazing.
If,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
if you became a fucking boxer, or a, yeah. if you became a sportsman, actually, full stop, or you went into dance, or you became one of those like method actors who was like, renowned for being like, ladies and like
an
really,
amazing artist, be, like expressionate artist.
You'd be the best
something.
Circus ringmaster of all drummer. Time. Drummer, oh my yeah. god, yeah, like a metal drummer, like something.
Circus ringmaster.
Circus ringmaster, or like something like that. That would
what
be
about the shouting
cool.
though? Because I couldn't. I mean, the only way that's going to be useful is if I'm like a working like mountain rescue. Or
well,
something.
Shouting, you could go into comedy, and you could be like, one, yeah, you could, but you could if you were very good at it, you could be that comic who comes out and it's like, all right, okay, so I was doing this for some
and
reason.
She fucked me
friendly.
Up the ass.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You could be that. You could go into that sort of thing,
Dive
or you worry. Could just work in a factory or something and yeah. be in an environment where you always had to be loud. Oil rig. I understand that physical intensity does seem a lot more nice at this point.
Yeah.
Town crier.
Town crier. I met a town crier the other day. Did I tell you this?
No, like, you
man,
fucking didn't.
It's amazing. So it's, I've always been a bit obsessed because back in Abingdon, where yeah. we both went to school, they still have a town crier who beats the limits of the town once a year on...
The limits?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The old limits of the town, like where it was marked out, this be Abingdon kind of thing. The limits of the literally where the walls would have been.
Oh, I see.
And he goes out and beats it, and he goes around and he shouts and rings his bells, little town crier bell once a year. I can't remember when it is.
Why is it called Beats?
It's like beating the path, you know.
Oh,
beating, like, treading
oh
the path.
Okay, cool.
But we at a work thing recently, we had our my company put on its event, and you know, there are lots of talks in the day and saying, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's lots of timing to get right, and they a couple of years ago hired a town crier to make sure everyone got into the fucking rooms at the right time because he goes.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Around goes, ding, 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 it's 11 o'clock, it's time for investing in Asia now. It's so amazing. And they employ it every year, the same guy
cool.
comes in full costume with the bell.
That is lovely. Yeah. By the way, if I ever get married and you're best man and you have to do the Master of Ceremonies thing, you have to be dressed as a crier and
okay.
come in and all that.
Can I be dressed as Barry Crier?
You can be dressed as Barry. I hope Baz will be there.
Oh,
I
be
really
good.
Hope he'll
you
be there.
Hurry up then, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, the guy's old. There's
the guy
no,
is
there's,
old.
The guy's approaching...
He's still writing shows.
He's still writing shows. Oh, he's still
does
an incredible
it.
Force of nature. But like, I imagine in that, in exactly that, why are we talking about Barry Crier dying?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So what are you doing this... yeah, a bit of context. We both know Barry Crier. Anyway, long story. Anyway, it's fine.
I'm going to have to go physical intensity because I think you're right, and I was a bit unalive to using it for work. And it is, I don't think I've ever done anything with 100% physical intensity in my life.
Yeah.
So it'd be quite fun to have that force upon me.
See always, if you can maximise that potential.
Well, I was thinking for football, because I think that is what limits me quite a lot. Is I often go like, oh, can't be asked to run after that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, like,
I'm playing the
it.
Long game.
Yeah, it's more, yeah, or exactly, it's more like, well, if I try that, I'm going to fuck it up. Whereas if I had no choice about it, I'd probably be a lot better.
Yeah.
There you go.
And if you, now that you've chosen that, I really like the idea that, like...
Oh, and sex every is going to be fun.
Yeah, every time you leave the house, I'm imagining, for some reason, a camera shot of our door, and the door just, like, bangs open, and you're like...
and you're like... I think your image really of 100% physical intensity in mind is slightly different.
Yeah, you're, like, really pronounced steps and arm swings and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Does that mean I have to run to work as well?
Yes. Yeah, no, yeah. No, I think you could walk, but it would have to be like...
Or if I ran, but if I ran, I'd have to sprint.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wicked. I'm going to sprint everywhere.
Wonderful. I think we should keep doing these every
week. Next week, mate, I'll come back with one for you.
Cool.
And you come back with one...
For me.
For me.
This has been great.
Right.
But,
hang up now.
Okay, hanging up now. You hang up.
I love you.
You hang up.
Bye-bye.
This song is a song about links. It's a song about links.
Not that kind of link.
Not that kind of link.
It's only a podcast link. Not a link between worlds or a link to the past. Just a link between links. That links that bit and this bit.
Listen to that.
Why did you do it every time?
That is 170 pages of blank gold.
No one is ever convinced.
It's time for a change of running.
We've got to play the theme.
Oh yeah, we do it. Oh, fine, I wanted to do a new one, but okay, I guess we'll.
I'm not going to do a theme tune like 80s cartoon stuff. It looks like another episode of Choose Your Own Adventure.
What is Flaggin' gonna do? What is Russo gonna do?
There's baddies and the good guys too.
All right, let's just play the
in
normal.
In adventure world, you can be anyone. You can be a cow or a dog or a son. Adventure time.
Do you feel like a radiator woman? Because you're heating my grill.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, see? We'll play the real one now, and then we'll record that at some point in the future.
It's time for some sort of adventure. Pod Shambles Adventure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Adventure Time faces the Shamblers. Where will we be this week? It could be a cave, or a hole, or a lake, or a mountain, or a feast, or a pie, or a back alley of a Nando's. Where, oh, where could we be? It's an Adventure Time for you and me. Let us cross hill and dale, through the forest and the vale. We're flagging the Dorp and Barbasa. Let's sail on the magic train, adventure train, the magic train. Where will it go? Who even knows? It's adventure time,
adventure time,
adventure time on the porch tonight.
That was lovely.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Yeah, I'm glad you're ready. So, 10 second recap. Remember, you were with Russo Alicante.
Russo.
Yeah, and ground support was Barbosa, Oliver Fun, and Drunk Grubbins, but they are far behind you. You have been shot out of the sky.
Oh, shit.
You have landed in a crumpled pile. Russo's about 20 yards behind you. You're both definitely still alive, but okay. let's say you were knocked. Doolally. Not unconscious, but doolally. Okay. So, right. You're lying on the floor.
Okay.
And looming over you,
oh, shit.
Are three shapes.
Oh,
okay. And one of them comes over and goes, "Well, what do we have here?"
Oh, what the hell is this?
And the other one goes, "Well, I don't know, but it seems like it's a person or a short person. Maybe we should say a dwarf, but I don't know if that's PC." And the other one goes, "Hey, you're always laughing at me for being short." And you look up. And
there is
a very tall gentleman. He's big, barrel-chested.
He a lot of very dodgy denim on?
And there's a slightly tall one with sort of scraggly, greying hair.
And 70s shirt.
Imagine, you know the word dull?
Yeah.
And now picture a person.
Yeah.
Great. So now there's a third guy who's very short. And he's just got a very punchable face.
Is he wearing beads around his neck?
Yeah.
Has he got a dodgy tan?
He might have a slightly dodgy tan.
Okay.
But quite an open shirt. Sort of like me if I was short and on holiday. So, yes. And you see them. They've each got a little... They've each got a little name tag.
Oh,
on.
Do they?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's useful,
and
isn't
the,
it?
The big guy, yeah, the big guy, his name is Harkson. And then next to him is Clay, who's the middle one. And then there's Mammond, the short
Mammond?
One. Little Mammond is there. Oh. And they're looking down at you.
That's good, we're not breaching
sense,
any...
Like, a real sense of, like, privilege and, like, like a real, like burnt ingrained sense of they're better than you. You know, they're better than you. And they seem very sort of
have you checked the
right wing.
Before you publish this game for everyone else to play,
yeah.
Have you checked the rights on this?
I've checked that this isn't libelous, and because it's a fantasy adventure, and you know, they're not based on anything.
No, of course, sorry, of course
not. You know, it's never going to be a problem, Laurie. Okay. It's never going to be a problem. So the big man, no one offers you a hand to get up, but you can see them all looking down at you.
I'm going to slowly get to my feet then and kind of dust myself off if I can.
Take your bloody time.
Oh, right, okay, good.
Oh, yeah, he's still holding his big fucking cannon by the maybe that he shot the duck out of.
BFC.
So you know that these guys, you know, they're not necessarily being aggressive towards you. But
they mean business.
But they do mean business. Okay. So, yes, Harkson, I'm going to get really confused remembering what the actual names are. Harkson looks at you and goes, "What the bloody hell were you doing riding on our dinner?"
That was my duck you shot, you... Idiot.
I'd like to just step in right now. It's a duck. No one said it was your duck. Ducks are the property of the country, and we should be able to hunt as we choose.
This is my friend duck. I rescued him from slavery in a terrible lab somewhere.
If it was a friend duck, I guess maybe we could, I'm trying to be Clay. I've forgotten his voice. If it was a friend duck, I guess maybe we could understand that. I mean, everyone loves having fun, but I'm afraid we want the duck.
But it's my duck! I can't believe you shot him!
They're always laughing at me for being so small! He's just...
That's what
he's
he
obviously not in the conversation. He's just that's sort of what he always does.
Can I mean, they don't look like they're very open to reason. Can I try and, I don't know, distract them with some low-key magic? Or are
what,
they gonna
to escape?
That?
Or to?
Well,
to
I don't know what to do, because I can't go anywhere. Have they got any, like, a vehicle or anything I can nick?
Not within sight, but they look like the kind of guys that drive, shall we say. Maybe at high speeds or at the top of whatever your gearbox allows.
What does that even mean as well, that sentence? The top, whatever your gearbox allows.
Some gearboxes have different
gears
to other ones.
It's not like bikes, mate.
What the bloody hell were you doing riding a duck?
I was trying to... My friend behind me was trying to take me to his people and we were just going there. Why have you shot me down? I need to get there.
That duck... There is a great feast tonight at our city and that duck, I'm afraid, is... A dish of the day.
That duck's goose is cooked.
That duck, that's what I was trying to do. That duck's goose is cooked.
Well
we're
done.
Gonna need the ducks, thank you ever so much, for dinner. And I'm afraid you look like some kind of small magic man. You're not invited. So if you don't mind,
we will come to your dinner.
And they turn, and he, like, he's obviously quite a strong dude, because he basically drags course. It's bleeding everywhere.
Is he alive? Is the duck still alive?
And, it bled out a long time ago.
I don't know what to do.
And Clay and Mammond are starting to try and drag the other one as well.
I'm going to try and implore them.
You're in the middle of nowhere as well.
Yeah.
Like, you're...
I don't know what to do, man. Why have you done this to me? You've given me three...
Wait!
Oh, God.
Now, from behind you, the tattered body of Russo Alicante rises.
I didn't even check on him. That's terrible, isn't it?
It's not going to be that easy for you to escape this time, Harkson, Mammond, und Clay.
Why is it und? Not German? What's Spanish for and?
E.
Clay. I didn't ever learn Spanish. I don't know. E. Clay.
It's a romance language, Paddy, so it's going to be A or E or something similar.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. And you hear this... And then Harkson turns around and goes, "Oh, bloody hell, I was not expecting to see you again,
a Spaniard.
You piece of shit." I hate people with different skin colours.
Wow.
Yeah. No, this guy's a real racist. Like, I don't know why people aren't calling him out on it more often. Anyway. So
why are people employing him still?
He just turns his gun round and it is now focused on Russo.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, it's a sort of blunderbuss can, so he's having to load it like that. Actually, you know
a
what?
Big stick down
you know
the
what?
End.
Mammond is having to, like, load the little balls and Clay is, like, punching it down with a little thing like that. And we've got to get him. We've got to get him. He'll be dead meat by the end of this, and we can finally end this argument once and for all.
Mano al mano.
But Russo, you know, I mentioned that the sort of clacking he was doing.
He's got little castanets.
You do not know what is about to hit you, my friends. He's got castanets, and he's gone into a sort of dance.
Okay,
like this. He's doing.
Why is this going to help? I feel like this is just what you wanted to do.
My name is Russo Alicante. I come from a land that is covered in darkness, cause of evil
no.
men who look like those three men who have taken land from Russo Alicante. And he's doing the dance, and the song goes on for a really long time.
You're
but they are
me.
Loading a gun. They seem to have basically lost interest in you. They are about to waste Russo Alicante by the looks of things.
Okay,
you're going to get involved?
Well, I feel like I have to now. He's doing his little castanet dance.
You don't have to do anything.
Feel like I have to, Paddy. I feel like the script the book.
The book. Why not? Yeah, it's a bit. Yeah, it's really, 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 really. Good,
what am I going to do? Well, listen. While they're distracted, maybe I can.
You're going to start doing... You're going to go for...
I'm not going to go straight for a magic missile. That's just going to fuck someone up,
you're not.
It?
You don't want to just go for the...
No. I think aggression. I need to try and... Maybe I can try and, like, wiggle the gun and make it jam or something with telekinesis.
Telekinesis?
Yeah.
That is a
maybe. So what should I do? I'm going to try and, jam the gun by messing with the bits inside.
Okay, cool. All right, they're not really paying attention. Could you just give me
a
roll?
It's a big old blunderbuss, so it's not like a delicate little gun.
It's not a delicate gun.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. All right. You see, the gun's starting to wiggle, and just like the bullet that has been loaded in by Mammon just sort of goes and falls that out at the end, and the gunpowder is sort of leaking from the bottom. What the bloody hell is this? You'd think it was made by Nissan. and then Clay is like, now don't knock Nissan, because actually Nissan's toy cars are actually rather exciting. And suddenly they're in this kind of conversation. But Mammon, not being. Not really being Sweet. Involved in this, goes, I'm going to end this a different way. And out of his pocket, which is very small, because he's very small, takes a tiny car, a tiny little car, okay? And he kind of gets on it and goes, charge!
Oh, God.
And he goes straight for Russo Alicante. He's going out. He's realised the gun has a problem. But the problem is, mate, he goes straight past him, attempting to break some kind of land speed record, and he hits a big rock.
Fucking hell, mate. That's not okay. Guy almost died.
It's a story.
It's a story.
A guy almost died. Yeah, he's a fictional fucking dude.
Yeah, no, sorry.
He hits a big rock and he just... like that, and he careers out like that. And he is just all over.
He has to go to ICU.
He is all over the function. And he gets himself up and he's already pulling out another little toy car. In the meantime, the gun is slowly just floating away from Harkson, right?
Yeah,
and he's sort of jumping to get it. And Russo's dance seems to be coming to a sort of end. It's like it's almost slowing, if anything. But you've got very little time to actually focus on Russo,
because this
gun is floating away, but he's a very tall man, remember, so Harkson's going to get that back
soon. Maybe before Harkson gets it back, right, what I should do is fuck the gun up some more.
Okay.
I've got my elemental magic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a gun.
I'm
going to electrify the gun, just sort of like fuck up all the gubbins inside.
That's really cool.
You know what the name of the game is, Paddy? It's fucking up gubbins.
Yeah, fucking up gubbins is actually...
I'm all about.
I'm on board you.
Okay. I'm gonna waggle my fingers, and I'm going to just like Emperor Star Wars-esque.
Yeah.
Like...
Can you... So you've got four dice there.
Skywalker.
Can you do the two black dice are going to be power, and the two red dice are going to be accuracy?
Oh wow, okay? This is some very advanced magic,
dude. I've written mechanics.
Okay, what does that mean?
Okay, all right.
What does that mean?
Your hands. Okay.
Hang on. Okay, can I just ask, because right now I've rolled 3 threes, a 2 and a 6, and yet something shit's about to happen. I'm very glad this makes a lot of sense.
I've got some
Get in contact, Hasbro!
Call us! So basically, as you hold your hands up, your fists, like a Rasengan in Naruto, your fists start to supercharge with electricity. And I mean supercharge with electricity.
Okay.
Like that, and your eyes go blue.
Oh
and
what the hell?
Like Abra Renji in Bleach, like these tattoos appear on your face as the electricity like ripples throughout your body.
Nice. Okay.
And you're forming together this huge bolt. And you launch it, like, straight at them.
Nice.
And basically, it hits the gun, which is fantastic.
Brilliant.
However,
like,
that's what I'm saying. You had two good rolls. However, the gun starts to just vibrate, like, absolutely supercharged, okay? And Harkson is wearing driving gloves. So his hand just gets to it, right, okay? He doesn't get electrocuted.
He's grounded.
And he goes, what the bloody heck? Like that. And it, for, on its own will, it fires.
I didn't realise one dice roll could have that big an effect
man.
On what happened.
In this game, one dice roll can mean the difference between
life and doof. You didn't even have to look
that up. Doof.
It was a mate and doof.
And de life and
doof.
Life and doof is, it's death, but in
fun.
In game speak.
So yeah, and it just fires like that. And now, okay, I'm going to allow you this. Basically, you know that, like as a street magician, you have lightning fast reflexes. It's one of the things you have. You have the ability to sleight of hand. So this, although it is not happening in slow motion, you see this.
Perceive it in
slow motion. This grape shot effectively bursts out of the end of the blunderbuss of these like little fucking pellets, but they're all they're like tiny stars like flying out, okay, and they are heading straight towards Russo Alicante.
Oh shit, okay.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Give me an opportunity to do something.
You can see all this happening. Now that's the thing, I'm not necessarily suggesting that you do something to try and save Russo, or you do something, but you have this moment to make a decision in your head.
Can I try and blast it away? I've got like quarter blast. Maybe I can try and like blast the shrapnel away.
Oh, that's pretty cool. What, like
spread it out loads.
And that's cool because I wasn't going to allow you another magic move. So actually, that's pretty good.
Sweet.
You roll those three. Okay, that'll be great. Awesome. Okay, all right. So you basically... it's really fucking cool, actually, in my head. I wish I could... I was better at describing things. So you've got Clay, who's like bursting out of the way. The gun's going off and like Harkson's eyes are like... like that, and all of the electricity is going, and you bring your staff up, knocking them sort of in all like loads of the grape shot in various directions. They're like that. Does do a little bit of damage to your staff, but nothing that you can't repair.
Nice.
You're a bloody magician. So they're sprayed in, instead of a concentrated ball, they're now just like that, and they're everywhere. And a lot of them are still heading for Alicante.
Oh, shit.
And time returns to this thing, like that, and it's coming to that. And in the blink of an eye, as Russo's dance was coming to an end, he struck this pose.
Nice.
That's like a sort of
flamenco pose.
Matador thing like this. And every single bullet, it's like bullet time in the Matrix, but it is right past it.
And they're also like electrified and on fire.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like that, and it's like it's perfectly framing him, and it's like one of them maybe like cuts a strand of hair. That's exactly what you were about to say.
We've all seen Ricardo Rodriguez films, mate.
It cuts a strand of hair. And Russo, just he looks fucking magnificent. He just goes, big mistake. And he throws the castanets like as he's reaching into his sort of cloaky tattered thing, and he pulls out two fucking gun blades like Final Fantasy VIII gun blades. Right,
hang on, but how are they hidden in his coat, mate?
They're much shorter. They're kind of like, imagine like a desert eagle but with a bayonet.
it's like the least graceful weapon I've ever imagined.
Yeah, that is really cool.
A deagle and a bayonet.
A deagle and bayonet.
When you said that, I expected like he'd have like stiletto blades with like tiny little pistols and
the
actual
The bayonet
pistols.
Is like very ornate. It's slightly curved almost, and like the
a
whole
Venetian
the,
dagger.
And it's got like sort of inscription. You can't see this necessarily from that, but it's got like inscriptions up the side and all like leaf patterns and all sort of thing. And the coolest thing about it is they both have hilts, like around like full hand hilts. You know, like in a fencing sword, like an épée or something like that. The like saber hilts that come round. He's got them
I see.
On the gun.
No, they're handguards, mate, not hilts.
The hilt is the cross hilt or something like that. He's got that
handguards.
Kind of really intricate handguard thing coming out, and he's just and he teams the gun and he just starts doing what is effectively some kind of like death dance. Okay, he's like
he's reapering
like Overwatch. Yeah, exactly. He's just
he goes
firing bullets out everywhere.
Looks like you should have stayed at home today.
Oh man. And his his bullets, right, kind of like when your telekinesis goes really well with arrows, some of his bullets are hitting their bullets out of the air, and he's sending bullets flying over at Mammon's little car. It's a tiny car. He's just got it back on its feet and it's like that. Now he's tiny and he's electric. Right, and someone that goes straight through Clay's glasses, and he has that sort of wonky glasses look on him, and then a load of the bullets do go back towards Harkson, right? But as I said, barrel chested.
Oh, like a rippling
it's
flex?
Like, he just kind of like that, and they just like that all into his chest, and he goes. And they all like fall out of his
chest. Like in the mask.
Like in the mask. Yeah, exactly. They kind of all go. And fall out onto the floor, which is like the coolest thing that you've ever seen, but it shows that this guy is not to be fucked with.
Oh my god.
And he goes, gentlemen, it's time to regroup. and the three of them, like, Mammon's little car, it's coming back over, it goes in between your legs. I'm sorry, I spat on you a little bit there, I'm very, very sorry.
A little globule of spit
went onto your... anyway, so Mammon's little car goes through your legs, like, and, like, there's, you know, there's Clay with his carrying all of his train sets and Kinect kits and scale electrics, and they're all going back, and then Harkston picks both of them up, like, under his, like, big, big gorilla arms, and they run behind just this one really obvious rock. Okay, there is one rock in this whole place, and it's just big enough for the three of them to be behind, and they're behind, and it's like, you know when people are, like, quietly whispering about what their plan is going to be? It's like that,
but it's not quite,
it's really visible, so it's really audible. So you hear Harkson, right, and he's like, "So, what happened next was gonna blow our minds." And Clay's like, "You might remember when we were in Patagonia. It's sort of like that, but a little bit crazier." And Mammon's all, you know, doing his little...
Screaming and crying,
all that kind of thing. He's sort of, I don't know what he's done, he's breaking his ankle or some shit like that. He's a wanker. Anyway, you and Russo lock eyes, okay? And Russo just gives you this little smile, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm fucking cool." And he goes, "I know who these men are, and they cannot survive. However, it would be of more value to us to take them alive."
Okay, so hang on. He knows who they are. They can't survive.
Let me just say, I may have messed up that sentence ever so slightly, but Russo Alicante does not correct himself. But I feel like you know what I mean. I feel like it's okay. Basically, what I am trying to say, this is going on. They're chatting, you're chatting. We need to take them alive. I think I may have a...
Right. Then you hear Harkson's voice. He's no longer whispering, even though his whisper is louder than most people's shouts.
Uh-huh.
You hear this. "Think it may be time to call on an old friend." Oh, and you hear this. Like that. And this...
Why are there cars, man? Why are there cars? And this whole bit. Why are there cars?
And, like, you peer.
I don't have an answer for you, do you?
Like, no. Okay? Like, I don't. It's a choose your own adventure game. So,
and, I haven't done it. Choose.
Like, this dust cloud is appearing sort of behind the rock, okay? And next to the rock, then, parks this car. Okay, it's not a great car. It's not a bad car. It's sort of what you'd imagine a sort of mid-range vehicle It's sort of like I assume it doesn't cost too much. Doesn't cost too little.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's quite reasonable for what it is.
Is it reasonable?
And it's driven by this guy. He's in like a sort of all white suit. He's got this like white helmet, but like a black sort of shade over the metal that like means
visor.
Like, yeah, like a visor, but more kind of medieval, that kind of thing. It comes up.
Visors are very medieval.
Yeah. Actually, they are very medieval. I guess that's where visors come from. Anyway, so all the doors open up and Harkson takes the front, of course, and they get into the back and he's got all of his connects and he's getting in and the doors shut and he just goes onwards and it's this car is now blazing towards you, okay? It is going at full speed.
Okay.
They're trying to run you down.
Okay, but it's a car.
It is a car.
Yeah.
It is, and I'm not even saying it's like a magical, fantastical. It's a car.
It's a car.
It's a normal petrol engine car. Like you've never seen one before.
Yeah.
You kind of get the gist of it.
I feel like we're crossing genres is the nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it becoming an incoherent mess featuring modern day cars.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
What some might say.
Yeah.
I don't know what Flagon's going to do, mate. I don't know. What's he going to do? Never seen one before in his life. He's probably just going to sit there and go, wow, and then get hit.
Okay.
No, that's not what I'm going to do.
No, you can, mate. It's coming towards you.
I'm going to role play. I mean, I'm going to role play complete contemporary.
As far as you're concerned, it's this sort of fucking metal beast.
Metal dragon.
Yeah, that you've never seen before, but you know that it's going
to
hurt.
It's coming towards me. Well, I'm going to vault out of the way, presumably. I'm trying to vault the car.
Okay, cool. All right. Give me a roll of actually all four dice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to need them.
Awesome. Okay, cool. What happens? Okay, the car is blazing towards you, and you've made a really cool decision for someone who doesn't know what's going on. But you leap.
Thanks,
into,
mate.
You leap into the air, and your quarterstaff right comes down on the top of the car to do like a flip over it. But it goes straight through this sort of sunroof that they have.
Is it a sunroof?
Yeah, it's a sunroof, right? it's a sunroof. But basically, straight into, in between the two back seats of the car, there's this sort of bit that comes down where you might hold like a drink or something like that.
A drink holder.
Yeah, basically. Your staff goes straight into it, but Clay and Mammond, they were only bloody holding hands. on the drink holder.
Why are they holding hands?
They're friends. They're best friends, all right? And your staff comes down and it impales his right hand and his left hand straight into the car.
Nice.
It does mean that you lose grip on the staff as you come out.
My weapon.
But you land pretty much perfectly, like, on the other side of the car, and you hear these screams as the car goes off. And Russo is very... Hang on, let me just double. Russo's very good at this sort of stuff. So he sort of swings...
May have not been very good at that.
Yeah, no, that's a 4 out of 6. And Russo has a very, very high dexterity.
Okay.
He swings out of the way of the car and goes, "My friend!" And launches a gunblade into the air, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's like pirouetting through the air.
Oh, my God, catch the gunblade.
Okay,
cool.
Give me a roll of 2 dice.
Get it! Oh, that better be enough.
Okay, give me roll the white dice for me. Just
what
that
is
one.
Oh, I'm rolling against the.
No, this is your magic dice that you're. Okay, cool. So what happens is you're running towards this gun, and it's very clear you're gonna miss the gun.
Oh shit!
And not because you intentionally do this, not because you cast, not because anything like this. As you leap to go and get it, like that, you like.
Oh,
force,
Luke Skywalker!
You force pull
Emperor. I
this,
told you, mate.
Yeah, man. You force pull this gunblade into your hand, and now you are both. The car is sort of spiraling round for another pass at both of you, and Russo goes, "Aim for the circles! Aim for the circles!" Like that, okay.
Circles.
Yeah, I mean, they're wheels, but I don't know if you'll know what wheels are.
Oh, I
are.
See.
Actually, of course you know what wheels are. They're
wheels.
Aim for the wheels, my friend. I'm sorry I said circles, but Russo Alicante does not correct
a momentary himself. Language block.
Okay, exactly. I'm still getting used to Shambhala, so bear with me. So he's squared his weapon on one of the wheels.
Okay.
But the car is now speeding up once again towards you. It's only aiming for you this time. Russo's got the grace to probably get a good shot in.
Mm-hmm.
But you've kind of got one chance. I'm not sure if you can get out of the way in time.
Tell me what I can and can't do.
But say, imagine you're someone who's never seen a car. You've got the front of this car. You can aim for one place on this car. What are you going to do?
All right, well, I'm going to hold the gun. I mean, probably feels a bit weird in my hands, Henry, but I'm going to hold the gun up, right? I'm going to aim straight for... I don't know what's called it, right? The glass window, the bit.
Yeah,
I can
the
see.
Sort of, it's like a shield from
the
wind.
The eye.
Yeah, the eye of the car.
The car eye. It's the eye of the car. And I'm going to try and shoot straight through to see what happens.
Sweet. Okay, could you roll those two?
Sweet. There you go.
Double 6.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to nail it.
So basically, the problem is you do all that and you're so confident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've never held a gun.
Oh, piss off.
You've never used one. You're a fucking street magician, you know that.
Well,
so basically, as you're raising it, you don't realize that you haven't loaded it.
Okay.
You haven't done anything like that. Like a rogue bullet fires into the floor and you sort of look at it and go, "Oh, hang on."
Well, down the barrel.
I don't really right down the barrel. You're like, "I don't know how to use this thing." you're now desperately squeezing the trigger. But it's out, man. It's out of ammo.
Great. What was the point of all that, then?
No, man. I'm really happy. Hey, it's your adventure.
Don't turn around onto me. You're the one who wrote this shit.
I didn't write anything.
I just turn up and pretend to know what's going on.
That's what I do.
Well, shit. I don't know. I'm about to get run over.
Yeah.
I'm going to chuck the fucking... blade at
all right,
the car.
Sure, one dice.
Right through the windscreen. Go on, fuck you.
Oh, wow, okay, right, you throw it, and, you know, it's got this bayonet on the end. It does go straight through the windscreen, and I guess that visor wasn't all that good. Because it seems to just basically bury itself in his eye.
Oh, shit, this guy in white.
This mystery driver guy that no one really knows who
visor?
He is. Huh?
Aren't visors to be able to see out of? Surely it has a good visor.
If you can see through it, that's great, but it should also probably protect you.
When does a visor become a slot?
I don't know, Matt. Maybe we should... Let's ask our audience. Get to us on Twitter. When does a visor become a slot?
Worst
at PodChannels. Get involved. Anyway, so it buries itself in his face. This car's still hurtling towards you. Now all of the other passengers, Harkson and Mammon and Clay, are all... It appears we're fucked. But just as it's coming towards you, the car, all the wheels on the car... burst unanimously.
Ooh,
okay, like all of them at exactly the same time, and there's this gush like that, and the car, now this is quite visual, the car flips
like in a Hollywood movie
just as it gets to you, you're right here, right, gush like that.
Oh my God.
And it just flips straight over the top of you, and you look up as that, and you see through the windshield your stick who's coming over the top of you. Look up, their hands are still skin.
Put it out, yes!
You just grab the stick, little yank, shwoop, like that, and the car lands on its head. And yeah. Just, what's the head of a car? Roof! on the roof of the car.
No.
And it just, like that, along the ground. And then you notice that the wheels are just, they are shattered apart. And they are full of, like, these sort of stringy sticks that are coming out of it. It's, like, it's really weird.
Stringy sticks.
And Russo just goes, I told you, the cavalry's here.
Oh, mate!
In a massive circle around you, yeah. Right? What looked like sand and brush and all this. Imagine, like, when ghillie suits, like, troops arrive in the Royal Marines advert, uh-huh. Right? All these guys come up, right?
And they're all covered in dust.
Coming out of the ground. Kind of like in that Woodkid video where all the monsters come out. They all come out and they're everywhere. And that thing you thought was a tree? No. Big tree-like man, right? Then even the rock, it's two guys who are back-to-back. Camouflaged as rocks.
Oh my god.
And they're all there, and each of them is holding like a magnificent musical instrument.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're all these men and women, they're all very.
Not all castanets.
They're all very. No, not all castanets. There's a couple of castos in there, you know. But all those. All the casters is what I should have gone for.
Casters.
Like casters. Yeah, like your casters in your party. And,
oh, I see.
Yeah, castanets. Cast a spell. Cast a spell. Hello, cast a spell. Nice to meet
castanets.
You. I'm a wizard.
Oh, no,
so.
You're throwing
it. Oh, don't throw a net. Castanets. So, yeah, some of them have got castanets. But there's. Yeah, and they're all very attractive people. They've got, you know, long black flowing hair and like, all this kind of thing.
It is
like
a Mediterranean feel.
Oh yeah, really, like really beautiful people. But like still scarred. I'm talking in the majority, like all the men and women scarred. You know, some of them have like bleeding.
But in their scars, they're too beautiful.
And in their hearts, they are alive. and there's, you notice that like every instrument seems to have been sort of modded as a sort of weapon. So. No, with this knowledge of our instruments, you see that the people that didn't fire these sort of weird sticks are actually people like guitarists and cellists, and maybe there's a double bass player, who have like pulled the strings back to like fire a bow. Right?
Hang on, fire a bow.
Yeah, so like as you would fire a bow, but what they're firing out of, from the strings is a bow.
No, how does that work?
No,
a
so
bow?
Like, you know a bow for a musical instrument. They are using the bows as arrows, as you would put arrows into a bow.
Hang on, what you couldn't fire a instrument bow using a bow though.
No, you can using the strings of an instrument one would usually bow.
No, but it's not a bow.
No, it is a bow. That's what I'm saying. It's not a bow. It's like imagine like a guitar. You got that and you pull that back and you've got a bow notched on there, like a bow.
I don't understand, but there are bows and arrows.
It's bows and arrows, basically.
But
so
it's made of
firing
a
all of that, and then there's some of them, there's like little trumpeters who have been like firing little darts into wheels and stuff like that. And there's a guy with a baritone sax who's just playing it really cool, like all that. And they just hold their fire, and everyone is just. Teamed on the car.
Mate,
right?
What
and
a moment.
Harkson's voice just comes out. And on that bombshell.
Mate.
Good night.
What? So. Thanks for doing that bit for me. Was that all just your Top Gear stuff that you've been waiting to do? But I haven't let you do in the podcast.
No.
Was it definitely not?
No.
Okay. So why were those three men?
Yes.
Called very similar things to the presenters of Top Gear.
No, it's Laurie.
It's no Matt LeBlanc. Laurie.
Come on.
What?
Would
what
I?
Do you mean, you would?
Would I?
You would.
Yes.
You would because.
But no. And no.
Is
just...
that why you've been watching Top Gear all week? I was really worried. I thought something really bad
It was all research.
I thought
you see how good all the research was. It was
good.
Really good.
Let's see what you got in there. You got Richard Hammond's horrible car crash. You got a bit of racism. The fact that one's quite. You didn't even get Captain Slow in there. He was just boring and into train sets.
I was going to get that in.
Yeah.
In,
and the blunderbuss, how's that related?
Oh, because he's like an.
There was
hunter.
A car.
Yeah, there was a reasonably priced car. I'm glad you got that joke.
Yeah,
I'm amazed.
Yeah. There was the Stig, apparently.
How did you know?
Oh, you know.
Did you
Hated
not
it.
Enjoy that?
Well, it was alright. I won, didn't I? So I'm fairly happy.
Alright, fine. Well, yeah, we'll
don't bring them back,
fine.
Is all I'm saying.
We'll just stop there for this week, shall we?
Fine.
Fine.
Fine then.
Fine.
See if I fucking care.
Fine.
Fine.
I don't
fine.
Care.
Fine.
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 Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Dad didn't love you anyway.
Oh. Fine. Whoa. Fine.
Yeah, we do it next week, though.
Yeah.
Can
you like
that?
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Where did you get all those geese?
I'll tell ya, I'm the goose wizard, I can summon geese. I ate a load of drugs, and it made me magic. I'm the goose wizard, but the geese won't.
geese.
No more drugs for you, you wicked, drunk, bird junkie. Well, it's full time here at Podshambles HQ, and it's about time we had a review of the show so far.
With me, Gary Lineker.
Thanks, Gary. So, I mean, possession stats. I mean, Paddy and Laurie were fairly even the whole way through the show.
It's certainly been a game of football.
Of two halves, yeah. Too, Gary. And what would you think about the shooting on display tonight? Who displayed the better prowess in front of goal?
Well, it was extra time-erific for Havelock,
that
but
doesn't mean...
I felt Jervis had the... penalties.
Yes, and then some. Yeah. And of course, the tackling on display, both the boys' tackles, very, very...
moist.
Yes, quite on display at all times.
I enjoyed the cross corners.
And who do you think's the tip for next season?
Danny Rose.
Danny Rose. Well, there you have it. Thanks, football, and thanks Podshambles. We made it, mate.
Cool, we made it. We
referee
made it.
Referee is blowing his whistle very firmly on this week's episode.
Yeah, exactly. Zach, still angry about it.
Oh boy. But mate, it's pretty exciting times because this has been a bit delayed this week because it's been quite hard to pin us both down because you are balls deep in preparations for Edinburgh this year.
I'm nipple deep in preparation for Edinburgh.
Nipple deep. Now, does that mean you're there from your toes up to your nipples?
Yeah.
Or
like quicksand.
Or you've just got your nipples
just dipped my nips in.
Yeah.
Nipple dip.
Nipple dip.
Dipples.
Mate, how's it all going?
It's going really well, man. I am fucking tired.
And remind the listeners, you're doing your Travelling Monkey Circus.
Travelling Monkey Circus. It's called Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys, because I stole it.
Because
none of it belongs to me. It's not even my show. No, our show, in all seriousness, is called Johnny and the Baptists Eat the Poor.
Oh, and where can I see it?
Well, Laurie.
Yes.
If you're at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, I'm not.
You can... Great. You can see it every day at 7:35pm at the Roundabout Theatre in Summerhall in Edinburgh, except for Tuesdays.
Scotland.
Yes, in Scotland. But, probably more useful to the majority of our listeners, this coming week, which is the last week of July, Wednesday 27th, Thursday 28th, and Friday 29th of July, we're doing previews.
A preview?
In London.
Does that mean you'll be naked?
We'll be naked, just saying the words, eat the poor, over and over again. And it's at the Old Red Lion Theatre in Angel, and it's at 7:30, and tickets are dirt cheap. Ooh. I think they're like £6. And you can buy them online, and I'd really like people to come because it won't then be in London until next year.
I don't want anyone to come.
I
just want to make that very clear.
I'm going, and I want the whole
theatre for myself.
I've just got off book, and it's very scary, and I'm really proud of
off
this
book
show.
Means Paddy doesn't have to read the words.
I don't have to read the words anymore, and neither does Johnny, and it's very, very exciting. And the show's actually really good, I think. I'm not normally proud of a show, especially at this point, but I think it's actually really good, and it has a really good message about inequality, and there's lots of funny bits.
How good inequality is,
and how much we value how awful people are. So no, it's very political, and it's got lots of songs, and it's got lots of jokes, and it's very funny, and it's also a play. And
you're really good. It's really funny. It's a play.
You're gonna laugh. I need to make sure that I keep myself at this level of optimism about it because this is so unheard of.
Mate, it is unheard. You're usually pretty optimistic about it. I mean, usually at this point you're just beaten down by rehearsing it for so long. But
That's what I feel.
Yeah, you do seem that, but also. It's going to be good. And having seen little bits and pieces of it, I'm pretty sure it's going to be good. And also,
that's
you've done
kind.
Loads of other good stuff, mate. So, tell you what.
Fuck you.
Being Debbie fucking Downer.
Laurie, you're going to be at the previews.
Yes.
And I'm very, very excited.
But I'm not going to tell anyone which one so that you get tickets sold on each
you're
night. Because obviously I'm a big
you're
draw.
You're going to be disguised as a bear. Don't tell them.
And I'm going to, like a really hectic point in the show, I'm going to run through, I'm going to walk across the stage, across the back, juggling.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the show's going to be so good that no one's going to know it's me until you go on YouTube and the thing says, hey,
you missed
the bear going through the back of this show.
Oh my God.
And then it'll be like, whoa, my God.
And they'll build this like camera phone footage that then gets put off of it. No, it's going to be really, really good. If anyone likes Podshambles or Johnny the Baptist, then come to it and we can talk about either of those things.
Where can people buy tickets for the previews?
Oh, they can buy them on the Old Red Lion website. Just go to www.google.com and type in Old Red Lion Theatre, Johnny and the Baptist.
And where can people buy tickets for Edinburgh?
Once again, go to Google and it's the venue Summer Hall, and that's the ticket website. So if you go Johnny the Baptist, Summer Hall, Eat the Poor.
On your website as well?
Yes, actually. Well, fucking well done. That would have been so much. Just go to johnnyandthebaptist.com or .co.uk. .co.uk. Thanks, man. and then there's a gigs page, and that'll take you all to. I'm sorry for this to seem like an advert. I also wanted to explain why this episode's delayed and why the next month is going to be tricky, but we're still going to be doing stuff together.
We're going to do another episode just before you go away, hopefully, because we've got that weekend around. And then we're going to do an update while you're in Edinburgh.
Yes, absolutely. We might do a remote episode.
Oh!
We haven't done a remote episode in like 2 years, three years.
Yeah, it used to be our mainstay when, you know.
When I was off and you were off.
We didn't live together as well. That was the main reason.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember there was a time? We're about to come up to 4 years living in this flat, man. Well, I am. So you're about to come up to 3 years.
Shit. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bollocks.
Yeah. 3 years. You've got a bit longer. You've got, it's like, when did you move in? November? Something like that?
Shit, me and fuck, Zach, you're totally right.
It will tick over to being 4.0 years on September the 20-something this year.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, anyway, sorry.
We spiral towards the grave.
Yeah.
It only remains to say,
inexorable march towards death.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. You can get in contact with us on podshambles@gmail.com or at podshambles on Twitter or www.reddit.com/r/thisisashambles. Or
there's also our website, podshambles.co.uk.
That's the main one.
That's the main one. You can find links to everything we do there. I just put up another one of our old What's Your Plan B shows, which of course our show we do on Shoreditch Radio every Friday at 12 p.m.
Yeah, please give them a listen. They're really good fun.
We've just had Kate Quinn, of course, who's been on Podshambles before, and we all know and love her. Her plan B was to be actually a member of the Casualty universe,
Casualty.
Yeah, which I think we might mention before, but going into that, and also we had Zach on the other week, and we'll have his interview, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's isn't that nice? Brilliant. That's so bloody lovely. Aww. So thank you. Oh, and thank you to Rhee got in contact with us.
Oh
and
my
sent
god,
us a brilliant picture of horrible. A centaur tour, which looks exactly like Engine
Universe,
Room Film.
Was it from
Gravity Falls? Yeah. So thank you for that, and people have been in touch with us lots this week, and it's really nice to be hearing from people.
Hey, please make us not feel lonely.
Hey, it's great. I will ride my bike to your house and we can look up at the stars and we can talk all about my father's wishes, which he left in his will, which is a video will, which I will play for you now. Beep.
No.
Hello, I am his dad. I am
one
his
fucking
dad.
Week.
I taught him one everything week. I know.
1 week, mate. 1 week is all I want. And you don't do that fucking voice.
Bye, everybody. It's been fun.
Shut up. That is so weird, man.
They're so weird because I had to record an audience track at a gig the other night to get the laughter onto
our
album.
Was it that? Were you trying to record the noises of your own masturbating?
Yeah,
for just like further analysis
to like Snapchat.
Yeah, just be like, I never knew how loud it was until I recorded it. And now I realise
exactly.
It's like
bang, 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 and it's me shouting.
It's
bang.
A bit like, you know, it's that thing like when you're chewing.
Yeah,
I have no concept of I'm talking about just the chewing bit.
Oh,
masticating is the whole thing, isn't it?
I think it's
the whole making food ready to swallow.
Really? I thought masticating was just chewing.
I think it involves the spit as well. I think that's right. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just that. I think it's like. Anyway, I don't
know. Masticate.
I know.
I'm a masticator.
You don't. No one says that.
What if I'm loud? I just remembered it's a sound.
Anyway, I was about to tell you a really funny.
Yeah, no, dude,
so
don't
I think
know.
That,
come on,
no, you've got. I've got no concept of how loud my chewing sounds. So when you're eating something really crunchy and you're like, "Oh my god, everyone can hear me eat this carrot,"
like a crunchy.
Whereas, when's the last time you heard someone eat a carrot? You know what I mean?
You.
If someone's, yeah, but like it's not like.
I think
is
people,
it?
But carrots an unusual one because carrots people do eat. Very
oh, maybe
loud
I mean
though.
Like cereal. All I mean is like there's
oh, yeah,
stuff that sounds
no,
really crunchy
so right.
in
yeah,
your own
I
head.
Now, sorry, I'm now totally with you. Yeah, I think carrots sound louder.
Outside. 2 whole minutes of intro.
I think carrots sound louder outside your own head.
Why?
But cereal sounds louder inside your own head because I think with a carrot, because of how big it is, you don't fit a whole bit of carrot into your mouth. Do you know what I mean?
What do you do?
No, it's in like
what
if
you
a
just
carrot
have like a
say,
bit sticking out at a jaunty angle.
No, say a carrot.
You're
this
eating
long.
Carrots wrong.
No, I'm not. Let's say a carrot this long.
Yeah.
Right, you're not going to break a bit off, put it into your mouth, close your mouth, and then start
bite
chewing.
A bit off,
you're going to bite a bit off. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas with something like cereal, you like scoop it into your mouth and then you
your mind for eating cereal is far too jaunty for what you do.
And then
you're like there's a little spoonful.
No, but then you start chewing once mouth is closed. Whereas the bite of a carrot, your mouth still has.
Yeah,
all
right. Yeah. But that wasn't my point, was it? It wasn't the first
what was
bite.
Your point?
It was when it's in your mouth. Can you still hear someone eating a carrot when it's in their mouth?
I don't know. Maybe we should try.
All right.
I'll get a carrot.